You probably know, if you've been around on Sunday evenings, that I've been preaching a series of five messages about God's Word and how we should look at it, how we should handle it, how we should let it handle us, I guess would be a better way to put it. And tonight is message 4 of 5. It's the second last message. And just to bring them back to your mind, to get you in a kind of a frame of reference for tonight, the first one was called Eat It. And if, back to the millionaire's pie, my mind just flipped. No, Eat It. I suggested that it wouldn't be a good idea to be like Thomas Jefferson, remember, that cut up the parts of the Bible that he didn't like and threw it out and pasted the verses he liked that didn't offend him onto a big board, and that we shouldn't treat the Bible like that. When we come to the Bible, we stand under it. We let it form us. It's God's living word. We don't pick and choose what we want to read into it. We let it read us. We need to devour this, eat it. And then my next message was very simple. It was just read it. If you're going to start to devour God's Word, you should read it sometime. And it's pretty good. And then the message after that was think it. And that was the last one. Meditate on it. How can we let these words on a page sink into who we are? And we were talking about repeating and memorizing and just spending time with even little bits of Scripture and just going over them again and again and letting them sink in. And this evening, I'm going to talk about praying it. How to pray Scripture. If you want to devour this word, if you want to eat it like Ezekiel did, like John did in the book of Revelation, if you want to let this become a part of you, you really need to develop a prayer life that goes hand in hand with Scripture. As you read, you pray. As you pray, you come back to Scripture. It's hand in glove. I know we've often mentioned to you that line between prayer and worship is really fuzzy, right? When do you stop worshiping and start praying? Or when do you stop praying and start worshiping? It's a fuzzy line. There's really no distinction there. One flows into the other very easily. And it should be the same way with us and Scripture. Scripture should flow into prayer. Prayer flow back to Scripture. And it should be who we are in our conversation with God. We're going to be looking at Matthew 27 to start. But before we get right there, I'd like you to think back to a time in your life where you felt pressured. When was the time in your life, it could be recent, it could be years ago, when you felt the most pressure on you? You felt just crushed by the situations around you, and you had to do something. You felt just overwhelmed by life circumstances. You know me, you know I camp a lot. And when I was thinking about this for myself, the one situation that came back to my mind again and again was when I was at Eastern Bible College. In my 1 year, we went on a canoe trip. A whole bunch of us went on this canoe trip into Algonquin Park. It was a 3-day, 2-night trip, and Donna was there with me. We weren't married at the time. It was guys with guys, girls with girls, obviously. You can assume that. Of course. Amen. We made it there. It was a great trip. We paddled for about 6 hours, a few portages to our site. We spent 2 nights in the same spot, just relaxed the middle day. Coming back, the wind picked up, and it was nasty. There was big lakes. There was a couple places where there was over 1 kilometer of open water to cross, and the wind was coming against us on some of these lakes. And if you know my wife and you know me, you'll know there's a bit of a weight discrepancy there. If you can picture a canoe like a teeter-totter, she was in the front and I was in the back, so whoosh, right? We're going like this, we're plowing, and the wind was coming straight on. So it was all I could physically do in the back. The person in the back of the canoe steers, in case you haven't been on a canoe trip. You paddle like this, and then you pull your paddle out at the end, and it pulls the bow back into line. It's called a J-stroke or Canadian stroke. Anyways, the wind was coming straight at the bow, which was way up in the air because Dawn is so light. And it was all I could do to keep the bow of the canoe straight into the wind. And when she was getting tired, I was getting tired. And when she would stop paddling, it was all I could do to stay still. if she was paddling, we were inching our way forward slowly. But when she needed to take a break from paddling, it was all I could do to keep steering the canoe and keep it facing the wind so we didn't get blown around and off course. We were just staying still. It was one of the most intense situations of my life. We were almost in tears. I don't know if it was the wind in our eyes or what, but we were almost in tears by the end of this trip. And I would recommend, if you're getting married, go on a canoe trip. It's the best premarital you could ever go through. The pressure, who you really are, comes out. I don't know what your situation was. I don't know what your pressure situation is. But when you were feeling that pressure, how did you react? Whenever I'm in those situations, it's my human nature to grit my teeth and shout at the wind and just go. And just get mad and just go, right? What was your instinct? Do you crack? What's inside in those pressure situations naturally come out? When we look at the life of Jesus from Matthew 27, verse 45, let's read that now. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 45, leading up to Easter. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." And immediately, someone ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it up to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our example in everything. You've done everything first. You were tested and tempted, and you persevered. You followed your Father's plan, even though it cost you your life. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd enable us to see a bit of your plan tonight and help us to walk in it. Help us to follow you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. What's in you will come out. You know the Gatorade commercial where they're sweating the Gatorade? Is it in you? What's in you will come out. And what was in Jesus was Scripture. You couldn't think of a more pressure-filled situation. Jesus would have known that he was God's Son. Would know that he's the Messiah. He has a unique relationship with God. Yet, at the end of his ministry, he was on a cross within hours, if not minutes, of dying in horrible pain. And as he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He quoted Scripture. Turn to Psalm 22. At the most intense bit of Jesus' life, he had the peace of mind. What was in his heart came out, and then what was in his heart was Scripture. You see, sometimes when we think of Jesus, we know that he is God. Jesus is God, one of the clearest statements of faith. But we forget that he was a human being at the same time, and he would have grown up in the synagogue. He would have learned Torah. He would have learned the Old Testament. He would have been reciting this. He would have gone to the temple and offered sacrifices and heard these psalms again and again in his life. Scripture, especially Torah and psalms and wisdom literature, for the Jewish people living in that time was their identity. I mean, they were living as exiles in their own land, so Scripture was what they clung to say, "Yes, I am a Jewish person. I am God's chosen person." They would have recited these, and in the hardest time of his life, it just came to him naturally. We're going to start this evening with this passage from Psalm 22 that Jesus quoted. Then we're going to look at some of the benefits for us for praying Scripture. And then finally, just practically speaking, how do you pray Scripture? How do you do it? So we'll start at this text. When I was talking about meditation the other week, the last message here, I was saying that you should feel free when you're meditating on a passage of Scripture to use your Holy Spirit-influenced imagination. That the imagination is something given by God. It's not something evil. feel free to use your imagination. Now, that doesn't mean just run off wildly with passages of Scripture, but try to put yourself in the situation, and that's what I'd like you to do right now. Put yourself, imagine what it would be like for Jesus on the cross, moments before dying. These psalms that he'd heard all his life would have came back to them, back to him. And I'm going to read Psalm 22, and as I read it, think of what this would have meant for Jesus when he was on the cross at this minute. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out day by day, but you don't answer, night by night, and I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned, the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. These things were happening to Jesus, by the way. This is more than just pure imagination. People were mocking at the foot of the cross when Jesus was dying. These things were being said to him. I think that's probably why this scripture came to his mind at that moment. Verse 9, but you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even from my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help me. I'm going to go on to verse 19. O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. And it goes on and on from there. I'm not going to take, this is a long psalm, so I'm going to let you read that on your own. But time and time again in this song, the situation that Jesus was experiencing was happening. I mean, when it says here that David wrote this song. And when David wrote this psalm, he was feeling that God had forsaken him. He legitimately felt, God, why have you forsaken me? He felt like everyone was mocking him. He felt like they were surrounding him and wanted to kill him. And he couldn't understand why God seemed so far off. And now on the lips of Jesus, on the cross, just moments before he died, this scripture that had become such a deep part of him flowed naturally from his heart, from his mind, to his lips. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He echoed the sentiments that was written in scripture. And I ask you, I ask myself, when we're in those pressure situations in life, when you're battling your canoe head into the wind and you can't seem to make any way forward, whatever that is for you in your life, what comes to your mind? What comes to your heart? Do you feel like cursing the wind, like I often do in those situations? Or does what's in you, the scripture that's in you, come out? Do you naturally seek God? Is your first impulse to fall to your knees and cry, God, I need your help in this situation? What's the first thing you do when you're in those pressure situations? We know what Jesus did. We have his example. And I believe, just like Jesus was, he wants us to imitate him. He wants us to act like he acted. We concentrate a lot, and rightly so, I've said this before, on Jesus' death. Jesus' death was a tremendous event. Through it, he paid for our salvation, if you want to get theological. But he also lived his life as an example for us to live. And just like Jesus had that scripture-prayer relationship, we need to develop that scripture-prayer relationship too. So why would we bother? What are the benefits? What's good about praying scripture? Why would we bother to take the time to do this? I'm going to give you three reasons. The first reason is every human emotion can find its voice in Scripture. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There's a lot of faces out there. There's a lot of people looking at me right now. You all have different situations that you're in right now. I don't know where you're at all personally, but I can assure you that whatever you're feeling, it has been expressed in Scripture in some way or another, for right or for wrong. Do you know that there's even some horribly selfish prayers uttered in Scripture? Sometimes David is almost right out of his mind when he's praying, and he's saying some things that are bad theology, but that's what he's feeling in his heart, and he gives voice to it because God's big enough to handle it. Whatever emotion, whatever situation, whatever circumstance you're in, Scripture has a voice for it, and you can pray through those words. Let's just take a little survey here. I just did a quick flip through some of the Psalms. Psalms are amazing prayers. Just to give you an idea of the range of emotions that are covered here. Amazement is covered. Psalm 139, 5 to 6. I'm going to go quickly, so you might not want to turn to all these. Psalm 139, verses 5 to 6. God, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to attain, too lofty for me to attain. Do you ever feel like, wow, before the holy God, what really am I? He is so amazing. Scripture can give a voice to that. Scripture can give a voice to loneliness. Psalm 13, listen to this cry of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? You may be feeling lonely, like God's not there. You're going through situations in life and you feel like he's not paying attention to you. You can cry out alongside David, how long, O Lord? When will I feel you? When will I know you're with me again? Gives voice to love. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Just simply, it gives voice to spiritual thirst. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 2. As the deer, you've heard this before, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. You have those times in your life where you feel just desperate to grab a hold of God, desperate to follow him and to do what he wants you to do. And you can open Scripture and pray alongside David, just like a deer thirsts for that stream of water. Lord, I thirst for you just as much. I thirst for you in the same way. Gives voice to our spiritual thirst. It can give voice to our humility and our repentance. Psalm 51, 3 to 4. David, utterly humble before God, looks up and says, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And against you and you only have I sinned. I have done what's evil in your sight. You are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. When we sin, the Scriptures can give voice to our repentance. Every bit of human emotion can find its voice in the Psalms. I'll just give you a few more. Pure indignation, anger at sin can be found in the Psalms. Psalm 52, 1 to 4. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You who practice deceit, you who love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. Selah. He needed a pause there. That was a pretty intense one. Can give voice to fear. Psalm 55, verses 4 to 5. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. David was fearing for his own life. He was afraid of death. I think if you're a human being, first of all, if you're a follower of Jesus, we need have no fear of death, because Jesus has already walked that path for us and showed us that it can't hold us any more than it could hold him if we're following Jesus. But there are still times in our humanness when a funeral comes around, and we come face to face with our own mortality, the realization that we could die someday. Chances are pretty good that we're all going to die someday. And David was afraid, and we can be afraid too. We can voice our fears through Scripture and let God speak to us and calm our fears. He always said, be not afraid all the time. That's one of the best passages of Scripture. And then this is the last emotion I'll give voice to through the Psalms, because there's so many I could go on all night. But you might just be feeling plain out angry at something and need to vent. God is big enough to handle our anger. Now, if we pray with true hearts, He's always going to bring us around, and He will gently correct us. He'll show us what we need. But you might be just angry at something that's happened. Listen to how angry David got in Psalm 58, verses 6 to 11. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Tear out, O Lord, the fangs of the lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows be blunted, like a slug melting away as it moves along. Like a stillborn child, may they not see the sun. I'll stop there. David gave voice to some feelings that, quite honestly, weren't godly, weren't good, weren't absolute truth. I mean, if you're angry at your neighbor and you say, oh God, break the teeth out of their mouth, it's not probably the best prayer to pray. But if you're feeling that way, in the same way, you can't go before God and kneel down beside your bed at night and say, oh Lord, bless my neighbor. I want to kill him, but you bless him. He'll see through that, right? This brings me to my second point. The first is that every human emotion can be expressed through Scripture. My second point is this, is that God can handle all of our emotions, and He will bring us around to see His truth. We just need to be honest and real before Him. And Scripture gives voice to those honest and real feelings. Another benefit of praying Scripture is that we can gain understanding as we talk to the author. I was reading a book when I lived in Toronto by Clark Pinnock, was one of the authors. And I read a lot of what he said, and a lot of it was good. And then I was really confused by this one bit, and I didn't understand how he could make sense of these two things. The details aren't important. What is important is I found out he was a professor at McMaster, and I thought, oh, this is my opportunity. So I went to their website, and I got his email, and I emailed him a question and said, Mr. Pinnock, I know you're probably really busy, but I'm wrestling with one of your books, and I really want to understand what you mean by this. And he wrote me back and said, you're right, I'm really busy, sorry. But and he was. I understand that. My point is, when we're confused by something we read in Scripture, the author of it wants to tell us what it means. The Holy Spirit that inspired people to write this wants to talk to you as you read it. As you're reading God's Word, God is right there with you saying, look at that, look at that. See what I said there? This is what you need to do with that. See, that's why there's this move to objectivity, you know, there's this idea that if you want to understand something properly, you have to step back, become detached from it, and observe it properly. Because if you're caught up in it, you can't really understand what's going on around you. With Scripture, that is absolutely false. With Scripture, you can only understand it if you're part of it. There's a lot of good literary and technical ways to look at Scripture. There's redaction criticism, where you try to figure out how the stories got put together and what, say, Mark was trying to say by putting all these stories of Jesus together. There's literary criticism, where you take a look at the actual literature and different devices they used. There's form criticism, where you think, you know what, this is a letter, so it probably means something different than if it was written as a story in the Old Testament. And those are all good. And without being a Christian, without following Jesus, you can understand a lot about the Word of God, but you can never understand truly the Word of God. because you can't understand what this means unless you're in communication with the author of it. And that's our privilege as Christians. The Holy Spirit will speak to us as we read His Word. So the benefits of praying Scripture, you can express every emotion in your heart. You can gain understanding as you talk to the author of it. When we pray Scripture, we're talking to the author. And when we begin to pray with Scripture, our prayers start to follow God's will rather than just our own. And this I think, is probably the most important. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, and this is the important bit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The way Jesus specifically taught us to pray was pray that what God wants to happen will happen. And when we're not grounded in Scripture, our prayers degenerate into laundry lists of things that we want. Oh, Lord, Janis Joplin, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz, right? Our prayers degenerate if we're not... That's one of those things I didn't write in my notes. I probably should have thought it through. Oh, boy. You're okay with Johnny Cash, so. All right. Benefits of praying Scripture. When you're pickled in this, when you're soaking up God's Word, when you're devouring it, your prayers move from being selfish, gimme, 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 to actually knowing what God's will is because you're reading it and praying that God would bring His will about on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayers lose their selfish ring and they start to be more godly as we pray with Scripture as our guide through the actual words of Scripture. So the benefits of praying Scripture are amazing. I still can't get over that the author of this wants to talk to me. That blows my mind whenever I think about it. But how do you do it? How practically do you actually go about praying Scripture? It's a lot of good to talk about it, but how do you do it? And I'm going to use the illustration of a phone line. And when you leave from here, the next time you go to read the Bible, the next time, whenever it is, I'm hoping it's sooner before, at least before next Sunday would be good. Whenever you sit down with your Bible, I'd like you to try this. Pray before you read, pray while you read, and pray after you read. Think of it like a phone line. Now, I'm not a fan of the phone. I still don't own a cell phone, and I don't plan on owning a cell phone. I'd rather talk in person than talk over the phone. But this illustration works here. Before you sit down, or as you sit down to read the Bible, we come from such a crazy life. Even if you read it first thing in the morning, stuff is flipping through your mind if you're like most human beings. And in order to hear from God, in order to really take this in, take the time, even just a few minutes before you start to read, to pray, to open up the phone line, to establish that line of communication with the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing that helps me, maybe this will help you, is Psalm 131. I memorized this when I was in Mississauga. And I'm turning to it now because I don't remember things good under pressure. But this is just a short little psalm, Psalm 131. You might want to try this yourself this week. As you sit down to read Scripture, just go through this and think about it. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. And this is the key. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Israel, put your hope in the Lord for now and forever. Just reading those words as you sit down to read the Bible. Lord, I've stilled and I've quieted my soul. Now speak to me, Holy Spirit, as I read. You'll be amazed the difference. I know the temptation, especially if you're following a reading plan, reading through the Bible in a certain amount of time, or if you have a devotional book, and maybe you have a busy day in front of you, the temptation will be just to, okay, got to read this one as you're brushing your teeth. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, right? I almost fell. But take the time. Take the time to pause and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me as I read this. And you'll be amazed at the difference. Pray while you read. If praying before you read is like opening a phone line with someone, praying while you read is like keeping that phone line open. When I was a kid, we'd always go to Renfrew. Renfrew was an hour and a half away, and it was over worse roads when I was a kid than I am now, going from Bancroft to Renfrew. I had relatives there. And my grandparents and my parents had this code. They didn't want to spend the money on the phone bill, but they wanted to know that when they left at night, they would get home safe, right? So they would, whenever we would go home from Renfrew and get home, my mom would always call up Renfrew, let it ring two times, and hang up. And that would be the signal that we made it home, all is well, and it would go the other way. If my grandparents were visiting us in Bancroft, they go home, and sure enough, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes later, the phone would ring, and don't get it, don't get it! And then nothing. Okay, it's them, they're safe, right? I use a different technique with Donna when I get out of the woods on a camping trip. You have a collect call from, hey babe, I'm out of the woods, coming home, bye. Anyways. There's a time limit on those, by the way. Praying while you read is like keeping that line of communication open. Instead of saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me, and then ignore him while you read, you're saying, Lord, speak to me. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord, O my soul. Yes, Lord, my soul is praising you. You're awesome. Do not put your trust in princes. God, what do you mean by that? That doesn't... You can have this dialogue as you're reading God's word. You'd be amazed what happens. And then pray after your read. To continue the phone illustration, it's not hanging up. It's not saying, Lord, I've come to the end of my reading. It's been good. I'll see you tomorrow morning. It's not doing that. It's saying, Lord, thank you for what you've shown me. I ask you, Lord, to keep what I've read in my heart today. Bring it back to my mind whenever I need it. Whenever you bring me to a place where this needs to come out of me, if there's a pressure situation today when I need this, Lord, bring it to my mind. Be with me. Continue with me. And then get up from your place of reading the Bible, knowing that God is still with you, that line of communication is never really hung up on, that he's always so close to you. So I put out the challenge this week. Pray scripture. When I gave the meditation message, I challenged you to go through Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses, and just dwell on them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many took my challenge, but I'm trusting you that some people are. And this is my challenge to you. This week, before you read your devotions or your Bible or whatever you do, take the time to pray before, all the way through and after, and see what the Holy Spirit will tell you as you do. I think you might be surprised. Let's stand. Lord, you're an awesome God. I thank you that you're always there with me, with all of us. Lord, as the second we call, Lord, you even prompt us to call you. You're there before we ask. You're always the first. I pray, Holy Spirit, that this scripture we read about Jesus quoting, my God, why have you forsaken me? Holy Spirit, keep that close to our hearts. Keep that close to the top of our minds this week as we go through whatever life has to throw at us. Holy Spirit, I know you guide our paths. And whatever situations we are walking into this week, I pray that you would bring back your word to our mind in the middle of them. Lord, give us a heart that just wants to talk with you as we read about you. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.